the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Satsers, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. I'm back. Wow. Thank you so much for your patience this week. And we had some wonderful guest filling in, and appreciate Congressman Tim Burchett coming over before he heads back to Washington, and did a great job. You guys were very kind to Congressman Burchett yesterday. Well, look, today is Open Line Friday, and I've got a lot to say, a lot to talk about today, but we're going to work in your phone calls throughout the show. Now, here's how it works on Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about. And I want you to write down our number so you can call in, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we'll be getting to your calls momentarily. We are also expecting to hear from President Trump sometime today. When that happens, we will dip into the coverage of that and see what the president has to say. A lot happening, by the way, on the legal, the lawfare side of what's going on with a couple of big cases there in New York City. Last night on the Newsmax show, I was interviewing our good buddy, Judge Andrew Napolitano. And he dropped a bombshell on the country last night. Now, the judge, who is a friend of Trump, believes that the former president is going to be doing some jail time. He believes that the president will be sentenced. The question is whether or not it will happen before or after the election. But he does believe that President Trump is going to be spending some time behind bars. And I would not be terribly surprised to see that happen, but I can tell you right now that the repercussions across the country are going to be severe. There's some new polling data out, by the way, and the polling data shows that most Americans, like a majority of Americans, are not buying any of these court cases. A majority of Americans believe that all of these court cases are politically motivated. And that's what's going on here. So it would be horrible news for President Trump if he had to go to jail. But again, this is a president who loves this country. And the only reason they're attacking this president, he is the only thing right now. And understand this, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump is the only thing right now standing between us and a communist takeover of America. You say, well, Todd, what does that mean? I mean, if Kamala Harris gets elected, I mean, after the inauguration, we're going to have the red flag raised over the White House. No, it's not going to happen that quickly. It'll happen incrementally, but it's already underway. And that's the problem, is that we are well on our way to having a communist takeover of this country. This was the concern that Ronald Reagan, and if you've watched the Reagan movie, and again, from a cinematography standpoint, I had some issues with the film. But the content of the film and the way it was presented was spot on accurate. And the reality is that Ronald Reagan knew back in the 40s and 50s that the communists were the greater threat. And the communists here on American soil would do whatever is necessary. And no matter how long it took, they were going to conquer this nation. And a Kamala Harris presidency would accomplish that fact. That's how that will happen. So anyway, we're going to get into more of that a little bit later on. Liz Cheney, I have an observation about Liz Cheney. And I was talking about this last night on the Newsmax show. And Liz Cheney is pretty fascinating because here's a woman who has now exposed the fact that she has no moral center. And by the way, that makes Liz Cheney just as dangerous as Kamala Harris. But Liz Cheney is out there saying that she's going to support Kamala Harris. And in doing so, she is literally betraying every single value she has ever held in her entire life. Now, we're going to get into more of that in just a moment. I want to go to New York City, where President Trump is now speaking at the microphones. Let's listen in.
Is brought and brought viciously against their political opponent. And it's a shame. It's a shame. Businesses will not come to New York because of it. They actually, in the case of Ngoren, they used a consumer frauds case never used before for a thing like this. And not only were my numbers correct, and again, this was a generality. All you need is a general, but I had really good numbers, but they were very conservative, very, very much on the low side. And the judge knew that. And the judge ruled a fine against me, the likes of which has never even been heard of. The businesses will never come to this state as long as that is able to be held up. Because we won that trial so conclusively. We had an expert witness said that President Trump's financial, this was an expert witness from the Stern School of Business, one of the most highly respected people in the country as an expert witness. He said, to the best of my remembering, it's a big statement, but he said, this is perhaps the best financial statement I've ever seen. But the judge made me pay like a $400 million fine. This is a consumer fraud statement. Think of it. Consumer frauds case that they made it in. The judge refused to give it over to the commercial division where they could understand things, and they would have dismissed it immediately because this case had no merit whatsoever. The judge wanted to settle the case for a very much smaller amount, and I said, I'm not going to settle. I didn't do anything wrong. But he would have settled the case for a much smaller amount. He wanted to settle it for a much more. We had numerous meetings in his office for a fraction of the number that he gave. That was one of the interesting things. I figured that the worst that you could do is what he wanted to settle for, which was a very small number by comparison. And then he just came out with this number. This was a coordination with the DOJ. And the other case that you know about and you've been hearing about, which is same kind of a thing, also in coordination, is the Bragg case. And they actually wanted to put them together in New York. They wanted to put the DA case together with the Attorney General case, but they both wanted credit. They couldn't understand, you know, they both wanted credit, so they had their own cases. And it's very corrupt in New York, and very, very corrupt. It's a very corrupt place, and doing very badly. But when people see what happened, and when they see, oh, I've had so many calls from business people saying, this is just terrible. Today, there was a story about somebody in Southern District who's highly respected, knocking the hell out of both of those cases, say it's an embarrassment they were allowed to be brought. And I'm going to write out a list of things from Alan Dershowitz, Andrew McCarthy, Greg Jarrett, some of the greatest people, all legal scholars, great people, Jonathan Turley.
All right, let me jump in here. As the president continues his opening remarks, we're going to have to take a quick break here coming up. But the president just really enraged over these constant attacks and, again, this weaponization of the judicial system. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if Kamala Harris is allowed to walk into the White House, if you think it is bad now, they will be coming after every single one of us. That's why Donald Trump has to be elected. And that's why we've got to stop people like Liz Cheney and the McCain family and the Romney family and the Bush family from thwarting and sabotaging this election. You say, Tom, what are you talking about? They're Republicans. No, no, no. They're Republicans in name only. These people are establishment Republicans. And I want to give you an example of what we're dealing with here. And keep in mind, the problem is the establishment of the Republican Party. And many of them are now actively campaigning against Donald Trump. They're coming out in person and they're hoping to pull off enough Republican votes in the swing states that Donald Trump could lose, which, by the way, is what happened in the last election cycle. Nobody wants to talk about that. But this was what happened in 2020, aside from the rigging, was Republican on Republican violence. That's what went down in 2020. But let me give you an example here. I remember when Romney and McCain were the nominees, right? And a lot of conservatives were really upset. We had some great candidates, but the establishment, they were able to sink all of the other conservatives, and we got a couple of rhinos. We got McCain first, and then we got Romney. And they were slaughtered. But you know what happened? The establishment said, these are the candidates. You're going to get on board. You're going to support these candidates. You're going to campaign for the candidates. You're going to vote for the candidates. And every single Republican did as they were told to do, because the conservatives were loyal to the Republican Party. They went out there and they campaigned for these moderates. And it wasn't the fault of the conservatives that they got thumped in landslide losses. That's on the candidates. But all of a sudden, when Donald Trump comes along and the conservatives get their guy, all of a sudden the establishment Republicans, instead of jumping on board the bandwagon and saying, you know what, he's not our guy, we don't necessarily believe in everything, but he's the nominee of the party and we're going to be loyal to the party, we're going to support Donald Trump. They didn't do that. They did not do that, ladies and gentlemen. Instead, they not only said they were going to sit out the election, they are actively working to sabotage Donald Trump. Now, if Liz Cheney truly had a moral center, and this woman is like a soulless evil demon woman, if she actually had a soul, this woman, a moral center, she would have put out a press statement or held a press conference and said, hey, look, you know, I don't support Donald Trump. I hate the man. I hate that he's not getting us into war so I can, you know, earn more money. I don't like that. And then she should say, but I also am very concerned about Kamala Harris being a communist. And I can't vote for either of these candidates, so I'm either not going to vote or I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney or somebody. I would have understood that. I mean, it's lunacy, but I would have at least understood it. Okay. But she's not doing that. She is now embracing the candidate who stands opposed to every single thing that Liz Cheney has ever opposed. Unbelievable. But this is where we are right now, ladies and gentlemen. So that tells me that Liz Cheney is one of these Republicans who really doesn't have an opinion unless that opinion is actually informed by cash in her pocket. Liz Cheney is the problem here. Mitt Romney is the problem. These people are the reason why Republicans can't get elected. And just let me say this. It's because of Liz Cheney and John McCain and Mitt Romney that Donald Trump got elected in the first place. And you know why? Because every single time the Republicans went out there and promised something to the voters, every single time they got elected, they made us promises, and then they immediately break their promise and they go and have a martini dinner with the Democrats. That's what the Republicans have done. And they did it for decades. For decades. We couldn't even count on the Republicans to cut spending. And that paved the way for Donald Trump. If the Republicans had just been men and women of their word, if they had just gone out there and done what they promised to do, Donald Trump never would have existed in the Republican Party. Never would have happened. So this is all on Liz Cheney. And my recommendation to all of you establishment Republicans out there, all of you moderates, you got to get it together. You got to suck it up, buttercup. And that's exactly what the conservatives did when you guys put out there Mitt Romney and John McCain. We had to suck it up and deal with it. And the same thing here. This country and our freedoms are far too precious for you to pitch some sort of a hissy fit and go stomping back home with your baseball bat. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. toppers and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today on this Friday edition of the show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So this is interesting. We're getting some updates coming in regarding the school shooting in Northeast Georgia. A lot of our listeners on WDUN, which is our affiliate in those parts, just unbelievable what happened over just a couple of days ago. So anyway, the father and the son now in court. Colt Gray, 14 years old, facing four charges of felony murder. And they've also arrested the father. His name is Colin Gray, 54 years old. And he's accused of allowing his son access to the rifle that was used in the mass shooting. So they were in a courtroom today in Winder, Georgia. The hearing lasted about 10 minutes or so, and they're both being held without bond. So a couple of things here. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the idea of charging the parent. So when you've got your kid, and your kid is out there going up and shooting up a school, should you face charges as well? If your child is out there and your child, 2 o'clock in the morning, is out robbing a liquor store, should you face charges as a parent? Now, what I find interesting is last year, and a lot of people are giving the FBI grief over this, I'm not so sure that the FBI is to blame here. Again, the FBI doesn't have the resources to surveil every single 13-year-old who might write something on social media. This actually happened in some sort of a Discord, which is what a lot of the gamers use. The kid, when he was 13 years old last year, threatened to shoot up a school. But the FBI was alerted. The FBI came in. They investigated. And they alerted the local authorities. And that was that. The kid changed schools, which could explain why he was at this high school there in Georgia. And there's still a lot of information to come out. But in spite of all of this, in spite of the encounter with the FBI last year and the fact that this kid was on somebody's radar in law enforcement, I'm just curious why the father, after all of that, decided to buy his son a weapon. What kind of a parent does that, ladies and gentlemen? So now the father is charged because he provided his child access to the gun that was used at Appalachian High School. Unbelievable. Now, we've all heard the stories, the kid was bullied and whatever. Okay, what are we doing? And again, hear me on this. I'm just curious, when you have a kid who is incessantly bullied, how is the school handling this? Or is the kid going to complain? Are they dealing with the people that are doing all the bullying? I'm just curious to know. Back when I was in school, if there was a bully, your father would typically say, son, the only way to deal with the bully is to confront him on the playground and pop him between the nose. And normally that ends the bully's career. And the bully becomes, an upstanding citizen. But now you're not allowed to do that. Anyway, should the parents be charged when the kids are out there committing these mass murders? 901-260-5926. Open line Friday, by the way. That's 901-260-5926.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, good to have you back with us, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines. Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. Let's start the day with Sherry in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Sherry. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Well, I'm calling about this school shooting issue about the father being charged. I was just talking to my husband, and he made a point about what would happen if your child goes out and he goes out and he takes a gun and he shoots somebody in a mall or something, and or in a gang or a vehicle or. So where does it end? Is this a law or is this a reaction to what happened? We're curious if it's an actual law that, because this could go on and on with all kinds of things. If your child does something,
Sherry, don't hold me to this, but a couple of years ago, I think was the first time, and this is what, I'm saying don't hold me to this being the first time, but I believe it was the first time back in 2021, there was a school shooting in Michigan, and the mom and the dad were actually charged. Their kid shot up a school, and mom and dad were charged, and they're in prison for, like, I think 10 years apiece because they could have, the argument is that they could have prevented their son from possessing the gun that killed four students back in 2021.
Right, and I remember that.
I don't look. Here's my take on it. As you know, again, a member of the National Rifle Association. If you are a law-abiding gun owner, you have a responsibility to secure your weapons. And if you are negligent in that, I think that you should bear some responsibility. I think we may have lost Sherry. Bad phone connection there, but Sherry, give us a call back if you get to a better area. Let's go to Tim in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Tim. What say you?
I say you, Todd, that parents out there worried about what they see on TV, worried about their kids in school. If you love your kids and you can, get them out of public school. Not for just what happened, but just for what they're teaching, and be a better family and a better life. Public school is there's no words that I can explain it. It's awful.
Tim, I'm going to go out on a limb here and probably irritate a lot of people by what I have to say. The problem in this country right now is parents are not parenting their kids. They're letting the TV do it. They're letting video games do it. They're letting those little devices we hold in our hands every single day do it. We're letting all of the social media platforms do it for us. And as a result, we're raising one of the most, I hate to say it, but it's true. I think we're raising one of the most immoral generations in American history. And we're raising a generation that has very little regard for life. And I say that, Tim, based just here in Memphis, a majority of the crime in Memphis is actually being committed by children. And many people are, you walk around Memphis, Tim, and you ask somebody, would you rather be carjacked by an adult or a kid? You're going with the adult because there's a better chance they won't shoot you in the head.
Well, there was two instances here on the green belt, which is a walking trail where 14-year-olds, you know, robbing a worker on the trail at gunpoint, took his side by side and his wallet and left him, and 14 years old, you know. I can't explain that, Todd. It doesn't register with me and the way I was raised. But, you know, my thinking then is school. That's the topic these days. When I was in school, and perhaps you, the school and the parent worked hand in hand together. If I went to school and I acted up, well, Mr. Stevens, that was my principal, I got it. He had a paddle, that thing about 2.5 foot long, and he'd use it. He'd also call your dad, and he'd tell him, and when you got home, your dad probably done it.
Tim, I want to tell you a story. This I remember like it happened yesterday. I was in third grade, Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School in South Haven, Mississippi. Many of our KWAM listeners are familiar. And Mrs. Folk was my reading teacher. We had reading class back then, Tim. And I'll never forget, it was the opening day of the McDonald's in our town. It was, we had never had a McDonald's. This was like back in the 1970s. And it was big deal. And so mom and dad got me in the car, and we went down to McDonald's, and I was sitting there eating my, I don't know, I had a Happy Meal. And then Mrs. Folk came by. And my mom said, Mrs. Folk, how are you, and how is Todd doing in reading class? And Tim, little Todd was a holy terror back then, and little Todd was not doing his reading assignments. And all I can tell you is that turned out being a very unhappy meal.
But to your point,
that's right. Parents and teachers were on the same side because they knew we were all little hellions.
That's right. And I don't know where it changed or where it went wrong, but thankfully my grandchildren are just as of recently not in public school anymore.
Yeah.
And I can already see a change in them. It's sad. It really saddens me. Even when you have these situations where your board members, your elected official, your board members won't even get out of the desk or out of the office or take the initiative to go out and talk to this teacher or this parent. Or I'm elected. I just sit here and do what I'm supposed to do. I ain't worried about all that. Where did it all change?
Tim, it's a great point, and it didn't happen overnight. And in the opening monologue, I said communism is not going to just happen on the day that Kamala Harris gets inaugurated. God forbid that happens. But it's incrementally over time. And that's what's happened in our school system. I mean, you look, there was a story that came out. I was reading in one of our local newspapers yesterday. And the University of Memphis, their engineering department, they just opened up a brand new engineering department, with a brand new building, state of the art. And enrollment is down 20% among engineering majors. And one of the reasons why is that the ACT math scores in the Memphis City schools is so low that they can't find any students locally that would even be able to meet the bare minimum standards to get into engineering school. I think you have to have an ACT score. They were wanting something like 26. And in Memphis schools, it's barely the average ACT score is like 16. So, again, they're not even teaching our kids.
No, sir. They are not. And from what I understand, they've got a Chromebook there that says you'll do this from 8:15 to this time, and you'll rate it, and you'll do this and do that and do this. My teacher, she had a lesson plan, and that's what we went by, and we learned. Now it's just, you know, this is what somebody in Atlanta or wherever it may have been, somebody in an office said, this is how I'm going to teach, you know. And little Johnny's sitting over here with his hand up. Oh, I know. I got the answer. Well, I'm not going to pick you, Johnny, because I know you've got the answer, but there's 28 others in here that I have got to get taught to where you're at.
Well, now we're teaching. We're not even encouraging students to reach their highest potential. Now we are teaching. The teachers have been instructed, and if there are any teachers out there, you can call and verify this. You're teaching to the lowest common denominator because the teachers don't have time, right? They've got so many other things they're required to do by the state and the government, which, again, is why Donald Trump He's got a lot to do on that first day in office, but he has got to abolish the Department of Education and give control of our schools back to our local communities. Tim, I got to run. Thank you for that call, though. But I will say this, moms and dads, one of the things we've got to start doing is taking those phones out of the hands of the kids. And the question at that point becomes, what's a good age for a kid to have a smartphone? Is it 18? Is it 16? Is it 17? I mean, those kids are on these phones 24 hours a day. They have no communication skills. They have no interpersonal relation. They have no skills because all of their relationships are done through that smartphone. It's a problem. All right, let's go to Bill in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Bill. What do you want to talk about today?
Hi, Todd. First of all, I agree with your comment. You know, you said you're NRA and you have to have responsibility with a weapon and all that. And that's biblical, too, because the Lord charges us to be responsible for our children and to raise them in the way that they should go. But isn't it interesting that when it comes to a decision like I want to mutilate myself and I'm no longer a boy, I'm a girl, the government doesn't want you to have that responsibility, Todd?
Yes, it's a very fair example of the hypocrisy there, Bill. Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, and on the last comment about engineering school, I went through Old Dominion 76 through 80, and my SAT score was 540 out of 600 for math, but that's because small county in Virginia, they taught me. They taught me how to have math skills, and I was able to qualify for not just ODU, but three other engineering schools in the state, and I went to ODU for a lot of other reasons, but they're not teaching the math, and they don't care, and that's why we're getting our clocks clean internationally. Before we know it, there won't be any, quote-unquote, native-born Americans doing these things. I'm an engineer, and as a profession, we are seeing a real problem now with disassociations with what's coming up. We don't have them. We're not going to replace ourselves.
As to that point, Bill, this is fascinating. According to the Daily Memphian, that the engineering program at the University of Memphis serves a majority of not American students, but international students. So our tax money is going to fund the education of these international kids that are going to take their degrees and they're going to go back to their home countries. And, you know, they're going to they're going to start careers based on degrees they got here in the United States of America.
And back in the day when I went through school, the funding for math and programs, you remember I was back in the 60s, space program, space race, you know, fighting communism. It was a national security interest that we have people who were smart enough to do things like engineering, and money flowed to the schools to that end. Right now, there's no interest in that.
The ideal ACT score for the University of Memphis, and this is their higher admission, and they've got these higher admission standards. The average ACT score for math is 26. That's their ideal. Not a single school district in the entire area of Memphis, I mean everything, from the suburbs on, nobody reaches that marker.
Well, I think some of the onus now on that is us older engineers in the professional engineering societies like NSPE or American Society of Engineers. We need to be hitting our legislators and say, this needs to be fixed. It's going to be us, the older generation, to tackle this.
You know what's going to happen here, Bill, and this is, I know this is going to seem like a stretch, but when you look at a satellite map of North and South Korea, you can tell where the delineation line is between free South Korea and the communist North Koreans, because hardly any lights, hardly any, any engineering, hardly anything there, right? And South Korea looks like, you know, Los Angeles. I'm going to say this. They are dumbing down our kids, Bill. And this is yet another example of that, where you've got DEI hires, and they are conditioning our country to become a third world communist state. That's what they're doing. And it's going to take time, but I think we're well on our way to that.
Well, it started when I was in school. I went through, was able to work my way through school, get enough scholarships and grants because I stayed on the dean's list all eight semesters. The problem is now, when I talked to the governor of Virginia several years ago on a call-in show on WRVA, there's no merit scholarship programs now. So a kid from a mediocre, middle-class family that can't afford to pay the high rates and things can't get a merit scholarship more. We do not do things on merit anymore, and that's bad. And that is a terrible thing because we're excluding some of the brightest and the best by doing that.
And to that point, the Young Americans Foundation filed a federal lawsuit in North Dakota. This is just insane. Over the Biden-Harris administration's racist achievement program. And here it is in a nutshell. This was at the University of North Dakota, where you had white students who were told they were not even eligible to enter the competition for the scholarship because of the color of their skin. This is unbelievable. So they're giving all of this taxpayer money to college students, but they're not allowing the white kids to sign up for it. I got a problem with that. Bill, we got to run. Great call. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Open line Friday. You know, you've asked, and MyPillow, well, what can you say about Mike Lindell? They're finally bringing you the most requested offer ever. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, you can officially get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. This is such an incredible bargain. Of course, you know I love the MyPillows. I have six of them, and I need more. I like to sleep with a lot of pillows. What can I say? But that's not the only thing. You're going to be able to get the incredible six-piece kitchen or bath towel set for only $25, and that brand new mattress topper they have, which is just, it's like you're sleeping on a cloud. You're going to be able to get that for as low as $69.98. I want you to go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Stearns, and folks, they're going to treat you so well. You're going to get huge discounts on all the MyPillow products, including that premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. It is the lowest price ever. Don't delay. Order today. Use the promo code Stearns. You can also call them 1-800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code Stearns.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines real quick here. Mike, listening to us in Maine on WLOB. Great radio station. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind today?
Jeez, Lou, I didn't know you were a problem in the third grade. Holy moly.
Yeah, I was. It was tough. I got hopped up on that Kool-Aid, and it was not good, Mike.
Problem child. Well, the reason I called was I heard you talking about the Cheneys and Romney and the Bushes. You know, the rhinos of the party. You know, Todd, it's happening in both parties. You know, pretty well you had the elite and you had the working class now. That's it. You know? Now, if you watch the Democratic convention, it was right there on stage for you. Billionaires, multimillionaires, talking down to the people in front of them. They have to give up a piece of the pie for everybody else. And I'll tell you, our party's not doing much better with these clowns. You know, it doesn't affect them, Todd. If anything, if she has 4 years in the White House, not going to affect them a bit. They've stolen millions of dollars over the years and years of being in D.C. and being connected. They've all become globalists. They really, really don't care about the country because it doesn't affect them. And anybody that thinks it does is crazy. It affects the taxpaying class of this country.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, Mike, and it's really a great observation that really maybe it's not about liberal versus conservative. It's about the populist versus the globalist and the globalist billionaires. Because you're right, the billionaires are the ones that are basically running both political parties right now. So it's a good observation. Mike, I wish we could talk longer, but it's great hearing from you, my friend. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour two of The Big Show coming up. It's Open Line Friday. If you're on hold, we're going to get to your calls. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And by the way, go check out, watch us on Rumble. Just search for Todd Starnes. You'll know where to find me.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of The Big Show. It is great to be back with you. I was out for just a little while. I had to travel to Washington, D.C. for a conference on radio. So Barrett Media, they put together a beautiful day or two of this conference, this media summit at George Washington University. And I was invited to speak and had a great time and got to see, as a matter of fact, Mary Walter was there, one of our regular fill-ins. Jeff Katz was there as well. And a bunch of other folks, and it was just, for me, it's always good to get your batteries recharged, and yeah, that's what it was. So anyway, a lot of people said very nice things about the radio program, and we're always happy to hear that. So some of you, and I've gotten a couple of texts over a story that was published yesterday by Mediaite, and I wanted to address this because I'm getting a lot of questions. So anyway, Mediaite did a story about a recent episode of my Newsmax show, and I'm surprised I don't do more of these because I just pretty much say what's on my mind. I'm fairly irreverent on the TV. So anyway, it was a flattering piece written over at Mediaite, and the writer, just a terrific person. We knew each other years ago, worked together at Fox News. And anyway, she did this story. And anyway, in the sort of like all the way down is really where the news nugget is in this story. And she's talking, you know, many of you know that I've been filling in a lot on Newsmax on the main channel. I do the show, on Newsmax 2, their OTT platform show, every day, 5 o'clock Eastern. But they'll have me fill in, and they've had me fill in for quite some time in the 8 o'clock hour. That was Eric Bolling's old time slot. And as a matter of fact, tonight I will be anchoring the 8 o'clock hour again. So anyway, I want to read to you what they said, because they're trying to figure out who they're going to make as the permanent host of the 8 o'clock hour on Newsmax. And this is what the writer said, talking to apparently several insiders at the network. And here's what she wrote. Several insiders at the network said Todd Starnes is a top contender for taking over Eric Bolling's vacated primetime slot. Another contender for the job is Rob Finnerty, who currently anchors Newsmax's morning show, Wake Up America. So there you go. Haven't heard anything one way or the other. All I know is that a decision has not been reached, but it would be a great opportunity one way or the other. I'm a radio guy. This is what we do here behind this microphone every single day, and that's not going to change no matter what. So if I get the 8 o'clock slot, that would be tremendous. Just very fine people over at Newsmax, and a lot of them former colleagues over at Fox News Channel, where I had a terrific run over there. And, you know, a lot of the decisions that are made are just business decisions. So anyway, there you go. So I'm not going anywhere. The radio show is going to be the radio show, no matter if I get the gig or I don't. But several of you had asked about that, And that's been kind of going around the industry over the past 24 hours. What's Starnes going to do? Is Starnes moving back to New York City? No, no, no. I'm very happy here in Memphis. Thank you very much. So anyway, that is that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Would you like to see me do the primetime show? I mean, maybe we should ask our audience, I mean, if that's a good idea. I am still going to get my beauty rest, and the makeup artists are just phenomenal. I mean, they are like magicians. They make me look somewhat presentable because I don't have a naturally rugged chin. No, that's not plural. It's singular. 901-260-5926. I want to start this hour by going to Charles in North Carolina, WSIC. Charles, what's on your mind?
Well, Todd, to start with, I think you would be a fantastic addition to Newsmax at that 8 o'clock slot. And if you get that, I'm probably going to swap out Jesse Waters and start watching you.
But, all right, you become my favorite. Hey, hold on. Let's clip that. I'm going to send that to Waters after the segment.
No, but I'm glad you're back this week, and but enjoyed listening to your guest host and all. But Todd, the reason I'm calling in today is to kind of echo what you have said about these Republicans, these rhinos like the Liz Cheneys, the Mitt Romneys, and just how their inaction over the decade is what has created Donald Trump. I mean, you know, these people, the Bushes, the Romneys, the Cheneys, and the rest of them, they have all campaigned on a platform of limited government, less government, individual freedom, lower taxes, less regulation, and free market capitalism. And now to hear Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and these other people say that they're willing to embrace an avowed Marxist for president that goes against every single thing that they believe in, I just hope that Republicans that hear that, that they now realize the betrayal of the leadership of the Republican Party to their voters, and that it lights a fire under them to get out there and support Donald Trump here in November. But I've always said, Todd, that the establishment Republicans and the Democrats, the only difference between them is the Democrats are taking us down the road to communism and socialism at 100 miles an hour, and Liz Cheney types are taking us down the road to 70 miles an hour. But the destination is still the same. And Donald Trump was the first person, other than Ronald Reagan, to say, you know what, this is what I believe in, this is what I'm going to do, and try to follow through on that.
And Charles, keep in mind, Charles, that Ronald Reagan was despised by the establishment. They hated Reagan. Reagan was kind of like the Donald Trump of his day. That's how they considered him. Before I let you finish, I want to jump in with some breaking news. We now can tell you that Judge Merchan has delayed Trump's sentencing to November 26. So they're moving that until after Election Day. That is the breaking news coming down right now. The judge delaying the president's sentencing until November 26 after Election Day. So we'll dig into more of that a little bit later. Charles, finish your thought.
Well, I'm glad that that judge made that decision, because had they done that here, I think it would have been chaos in this country. But Todd, you're exactly right about Ronald Reagan. I was 18 years old when he was elected in 1980. And back then, Sam Donaldson, Dan Rather, and the entire media establishment and Republican establishment were against him. And let me just say, if he were alive today, Ronald Reagan would support Donald Trump. Ronald Reagan would not abandon his conservative principles that he stood for his entire life to go endorse a Marxist candidate like Kamala Harris and moving this country down the road to socialism. I know that for a fact.
You know, Charles, what really bothers me about the Bushes is they're sore losers. You know, these, you know, for them not to show up at the RNC, you know, there are a lot of people that went out of their way to support this man, George W. Bush, even though he got us involved in wars we should not have been involved in, even though he implemented the Patriot Act, which is the reason why your grandmothers, ladies and gentlemen, get molested at the local airport. It's because of George W. Bush. It was George W. Bush who literally cratered our civil liberties in this country, all for the sake of feeling safe. That was George W. Bush. But you know what? He's a Republican. He needs to suck it up. His butt should have been at the RNC in Milwaukee.
Yes, and all of them should be. And all these establishment Republicans need to fall in line behind the nominee of our party right now, because Donald Trump, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, no matter what you feel about him, his motives and for wanting to run for president, I think, are rooted in something that's righteous. And he is going to put us on the right course and get us off this disastrous trajectory that we're on right now.
Yeah.
And God help us if he doesn't win.
You got that right. And let me tell you something, folks. The conservatives on the Supreme Court are getting old. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't know if we want any more diversity hires on the highest court in the land. Charles, thank you for that. Let me share this with you. Someone just sent this to me. It was published at National Review. And God love William F. Buckley Jr., but he's got to be rolling over in his grave over what has happened to his once conservative magazine. They've got a story out attacking J.D. Vance. And here's what J.D. Vance said that has set off National Review. J.D. Vance said, quote, Kamala Harris and Liz Cheney make very, very interesting partners. They get rich when America's sons and daughters go off to die. They get rich when America loses wars instead of winning wars. And they get rich when America gets weaker in the world. He said the United States needs to bring back peace to the world. Now, Noah Rothman, who is a senior writer, says, quote, this is not serious talk. It's a species of the empty, pugilistic bombast that passes for discourse among people who spend too much time behind keyboards. None of this makes much sense if you think about it too hard. That's because Vance isn't talking about Liz Cheney. He's talking about Dick Cheney. Republicans over. No, he is talking about Liz Cheney because the apple did not fall far from that tree. So anyway, National Review is now coming out and blasting J.D. Vance as hollow, lazy, emotionally manipulative. He's also accusing J.D. Vance of dividing conservatives with dumb-as-rocks rhetoric. I'm curious. I'll just throw this out there, ladies and gentlemen. How do you think J.D. Vance is doing out there on the campaign trail? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. President Trump, by the way, says Newsmax is terrific. Speaking of Newsmax, Mike Huckabee says he is tuning in like millions of other Americans. And as you heard, Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Newsmax officially launching plans to go IPO. And here's what you need to do. For a limited time, eligible investors can buy preferred shares in Newsmax. They come with a 7% dividend. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com if you'd like more information on the company that Forbes says is a news powerhouse. Again, NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, this is really tremendous news, and you're going to want to watch MSDNC and CNN tonight to watch liberal heads explode. The judge, Juan Merchan, is now bending his knee to Donald J. Trump. And the judge has agreed that he will not hand down a sentence until November 26th. This is, once again, more evidence that the lawfare against Donald Trump is going up in smoke. This is a great day for Donald Trump. Now, here's what we have to do. We've got to get out there, and we've got to vote. We've got to get out there, register voters. I saw some video yesterday from the University of Wisconsin, and the headlines were a few dozen college students turned out for Attorney Point USA voter registration drive. And that's when Charlie Kirk actually posted the videos and the photographs that showed not just a few dozen, but hundreds, if not thousands, of students lining up to register and vote. And get this, they nearly ran out of voter registration forms. They had to go and get more. But it's not enough just to get registered, ladies and gentlemen. We have got to get out. When you have early voting, you've got to get out there and you've got to start voting. You've got to do it. Do it early. Get your ballots in. Use paper ballots. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Connor in Boston, wants to weigh in on Liz Cheney. Hi, Connor, what's going on?
You know, my friend, I'm going to tell you, every time I hear about Liz Cheney in the news, you know, I think I'm going to need to have a pacemaker put in at some point because she's just so difficult to listen to and to watch. There is this thing with her where she is very, obviously very jealous of President Trump and the pettiness and the she will utilize to get back at this man, because she knows she can never connect with the American people the way President Trump does. And she knows, quite frankly, she could never be president. And for the rhinos like her, Mitt Romney, all the usual suspects, I think the RNC should start putting a blue rhino next to their, or a red rhino if it needs to be party colors, next to their name, so voters can know who they're voting for. A rhino. Republicans need the elephant, the red elephant. Rhinos need a blue rhino.
I love this idea, and I think you're right. I think there is a jealousy factor in there. I think a lot of folks in the Bush world thought that Liz Cheney was probably going to be in line to be the first female president of the United States. And honestly, Connor, I guess it could have been. I was a big Cheney fan until she came down with that raging case of TDS, and now we know who she really is.
You know, we know she's a rhino. And we know, you know, if she were ever to get any elected position again, she's going to vote with the Democrats now because she's going to vote against President Trump because it's a personal issue with her. And we need to keep people like her, any rhinos, away from our government. We don't need them. If they want to run, they can run as a Democrat, which is really who they align with.
Mm-hmm. Connor, I think you're absolutely right. Are you seeing people there, people in your circle, getting excited about the election? Are you seeing or hearing reports of people registering to vote as Republicans?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people I know who are, you know, independent are leaning more towards Trump this time around. And you're seeing very few Harris-Walt signs in Massachusetts. I've counted maybe like two or three. So I think, you know, knock on wood, I have complete confidence in President Trump because he can win like nobody else. But I think it's going to be a landslide victory.
All right, Connor, I'm going to write this down, and we'll have to give Connor something if he gets it right. Maybe some applause? I don't know. We'll do something, Connor. All right, Connor, you be good. Always good hearing from you. Have a great weekend, our good buddy Connor from Boston. Hey, real quick, before we have to go to break, and folks, again, it is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I'm curious, are you guys getting excited about all of this? I mean, this is, I really am. I do think that we are going to have a massive turnout in this election. Now, look, I want to tell you about a big event that I'm going to be a part of coming up later on this month in California. And this is worth the trip. It's called the Spiritual Leadership Conference. And there are going to be thousands of people here. It is so affordable, and we would love for you to attend. It's September 22nd through the 25th, and they make it so super simple. SLconference.com is the website. That's SLconference.com. As much as this is a political fight, Ronald Reagan and William F. Buckley Jr. also said that the fight against communism is actually a moral fight. And we need to equip ourselves spiritually, which is why I want you to go to the Spiritual Leadership Conference. I'm one of the speakers. You are going to come away so charged up with so much intel. SLconference.com is the website. We'll be right back, folks. Well, welcome back. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. A report from North Carolina, Gaston County, North Carolina. I want to share this with you. And pay attention if you don't even live in North Carolina, because this could be happening in your school. And if so, I want you to give me a call and tell me about it. Your public school may actually be disguised as a campaign headquarters for Kamala Harris. in Gaston, North Carolina, teachers sent students an email inviting them to become volunteers for the Harris-Waltz campaign. Now, the North Carolina Democratic Party was provided email addresses to recruit students. That is a violation of the law, by the way, in North Carolina. Teachers, and as many as 400 teachers, got this email. Teachers and other state employees are also banned from taking part or engaging in political activity while on duty. Radio station WBT reports that teachers used their official email addresses to recruit kids and invite them to join and volunteer for the Harris-Waltz campaign. This is also illegal. All of it is illegal, ladies and gentlemen. So the question is, why are they doing it? Well, it's not just in North Carolina, but I do want to share with you a statement. This is from Laura Trump, our good friend. She is the co-chair of the Republican Party. And Laura Trump is very upset about this. Here's the statement. I want to read this. Gross and desperate, the Harris campaign continues to try to use government resources as an additional campaign arm. They are now using taxpayer-funded school platforms to recruit public school teachers to pressure students into volunteering for the campaign. Now, the good news here is the school board has shut down this operation. But the problem is the emails already went out. The school board is also investigating. Now, here's what needs to happen. Every teacher who did this should be fired. It's really simple. They should be fired. They broke the law. They should be fired. And here's the reason why. I know it is not very compassionate, but there is no room for compassion when you are dealing with these groomers in these public schools. You can't do it. And you also need to be able to send a message to all the other pronoun-confused soy boys and all those other folks, the Subaru drivers. You've got to send a message to these people that if you engage in politics in the classroom, there are no second chances. You're out of there. That's what needs to happen. Now, the local Republican Party is incensed, and rightfully so. A Gaston County Republican Chair Robert King telling the Carolina Journal, "The method utilized placed employees of the school system in a position to potentially break the law. Yet the campaign appears to either not care or be ignorant of the law. It doesn't matter. They broke the law. And they should pay the consequences. And people should be punished here. They truly should." But anyway, it's not just there. There's video circulating on social media. We have it over on our website, and you got to go check this out. This is insane. A school classroom in another state, the teacher had the children make Kamala Harris campaign posters. And then posted, and look, these people, they don't care. They don't care. They posted all of this on their social media pages. One of the campaign posters actually showed high heels stomping on a red MAGA hat. You can't make this stuff up, folks. It's just unbelievable. Go watch the video for yourself over at ToddSturge.com. Just unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Doug in Georgia. Hi, Doug. What's going on?
Well, Todd, you've been right on with so many things you've talked about today. You're tying it all together. Our children have their faces in phones. They're being trained away from their parents. At school, they're being trained away from their parents. This is the upcoming army of people who will take us to communism, because they know nothing about the real world. They don't think about God. And I'm more worried about all the people who are willing to vote for Kamala. We have millions of people who consider us, MAGA, the same way the Nazis considered the Jews. We're being told that we're the problem. Conservatism is the sickness. Yet we see who's the ones that are burning up the cities? Antifa, BLM. So they've got this everybody trained, and that's what really worries me, are the masses of my fellow citizens, and the young ones especially, who in 4, 5, 6 years, They're the army behind the future of communism in the United States, and I don't think there's a way out. They're brainwashed, and we are, I'll tell you this, last comment, I've never been happy to be old, happier to be old. I'm not going to be around when the F hits the fan. Love you, Todd, by the way. You're excellent.
Doug, well, thank you for that, and I appreciate your kind words, and it's going to be tough, and there are no guarantees here, but I am very hopeful. If we can get control of the schools back to the local level, I think we can save the country. I really do. It's going to take a lot of work, and the reality is in some of the bigger cities and some of the influential suburbs, you've got a lot of wokeness there. But in the country towns, and there are a lot more folks in the country, I think you guys are going to have the better shot at stopping and rooting out the communists from your local schools. Doug, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Little Big Mouth in Georgia. Hi, Little Big Mouth. I'm confused. Are you little or big?
Little of stature, big of mouth.
Oh, I like that.
You know. But I appreciate you people. I'll keep my day job. I'll let you pros do what you do best. Okay, so from Trump's ears, I mean from Trump's lips to, but you know, at a distance of 20 or more feet to Kamala's ears. You know, Madam Vice President, this is debate prep. I did go to this school called the Wharton School of Economics, and I did graduate, and I did have a business background, and they did hire a lot of people, and I built some things. I don't know if you heard about it or not, but I think some of the people out there may have heard of these things, the golf courses, the hotels, the ice rink, things like this. What were you doing? You were learning how to be a Marxist. You were studying under Willie Brown, and you apprenticed for the current position you're hoping to obtain under the worst president in American history, who betrayed the people in so many ways, you'll just have to go to my website to look at them all. And he's violated the Supreme Court orders. He showed weakness abroad. He unlocked billions of dollars to our enemies, in particular Iran. And he and his family benefited from personal and family corruption. Meanwhile, while I was in office, you got a reputation well-earned as the most liberal senator in the Senate. And you received not one primary vote for this position, and you were installed by the elite rich people. And I think maybe people need to ask, does that make you a fake candidate promoted by mostly fake media, and you were supported by fake Americans who are actually globalists and looking to tear down our country and give you and your ilk tyrannical control.
Now, Little Big Mouth, I like where you're going with this. So it needs a little editing, but I like that. I think that's a fine approach. I'm curious, though, do you think he should stay away from all of the personal attacks during the debate?
Well, when you talk about her appearance, however you want to characterize that, absolutely. He needs to talk about her positions, and I mean political positions. Let's not talk about Willie Brown.
Well, let me ask you this, though. But let's say you're Donald Trump, and you're giving the you're in the middle of the debate here, and President Trump is asked about, well, you know, how would you handle, you know, foreign affairs? Would it be okay for President Trump to say, well, I can tell you this, George Slapidopoulos, I can tell you this, George, Donald J. Trump will never get down on his knees for a world leader. Is that over the line?
that's fine, Todd. You know, but he will never bow down to others, and he will. And you know, we've projected American weakness now. So this is the
also got to have a little bit of fun in there, though. Little Big Mouth, you got to have a little bit of fun in there. So, like where you're going with it, and I think that's a good idea. A Little Big Mouth, I hate to do this, but we've got a skedaddle. But I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. And I think that's good advice, folks. If Donald J. Trump, and I, bear with me for just a moment. I do kind of like that line, though. Donald J. Trump will never bow down, or bow down. He's bow down. I will never get on my knees for a world leader. I think it would explode the internet. I think people would go out of their minds. I may suggest that. I may send the president a message after the show. But hear me on this. If the president is somehow able to keep this focused on just one issue, the entire debate, one issue, it could dramatically change what happens on Election Day. And follow me on this, folks. It's all about the economy. I mean, have you been out to the gas station lately? Have you been to go get groceries? I mean, I phoned in when Ben Dieter, and man, did he do a heck of a great job of filling in a few days ago. Ben Dieter and I phoned in. I was parched. It was hot in Washington, D.C. I was staying at a beautiful hotel, the Fairmont Hotel in Georgetown, and I'm at the Juniper restaurant. I didn't want to name the restaurant while I was there because I had to get breakfast the next day. But I had water and not iced tea, and here's the reason why. Sat down, I'm looking at the menu, $8 for a glass of unsweetened iced tea. And I get it. I know I was north of the Mason-Dixon line. I get it. And you're not going to get good sweet tea anywhere except in the South. I understand that. I'm good with that. So I ordered my unsweet iced tea. It was $8. And it wasn't one of these, like, you know, Bucky's thermoses where you get a gallon of iced tea. It was mostly ice, and it was in one of those skinny little Long Island iced tea glasses. There was no booze. There was no sugar. It was just unsweetened iced tea, which is basically dirty water, right? And it was also cloudy. I don't like cloudy iced tea. So anyway, you could actually go to Kroger's right now. I said Kroger's. You could go to Kroger right now, and you could buy an entire gallon of Milo's for under $4. Well, Dylan, the reason why I didn't do that is it's because you got to, it's carry on. You don't want it spilling in your luggage, so it would have to be carry on. They won't let you, the TSA guys won't let you in there. Again, because of George W. Bush. I blame you, sir. So anyway, I'm sitting there going, $8 for a glass of iced tea. It's insane. I had a salad. I'm trying to watch my, just in the event the Newsmax thing turns out to happen, you know, I got to look good on TV. So I'm eating more green stuff. So I ordered a salad and an iced tea. It was almost like $38. I could have gone down to Five Guys and gotten a burger for that. I was so mad. But all that to say, this is what Bidenflation is. And if Donald Trump can hone in on that and make every single thing, for example, the jobs numbers came out. Are you ready for this? Over 600,000 illegals, people that are non-citizens, got jobs. Meanwhile, minus 1.3 million Americans left the job market? Nobody's concerned about this? Come on. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. A lot of you wanting to weigh in, and we're going to get to as many calls as possible. The good news is we got a whole other hour, so hang tight. We're going to get to you, I promise. Let's go to Bob in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. I was just wondering today, you know, they held that Georgia shooter kid's parents responsible for his action.
Yes.
And how come parents are not responsible for their children's physical and spiritual safety in school? They cut off their private genitalia and send them home without parents' knowledge and consent. How come parents are not responsible for that? They call parents terrorists and say parents have no rights.
It's a terrible thing. You send little Billy to school with his willy, and he comes back without it. I mean, what are you going to do? But to your point, Bob, I mean, it's parental. You can't have parental responsibility for son stuff and not all the stuff.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Our system is totally schizophrenic and hypocritical. And they, liberals in our system, does it all the time. You know, my body, my rights, but then comes to the mandate of a vaccine. No, you're going to put deadly poison in your body because we insist that you do. I mean, it's always, you know, hypocritical.
Bob, you're, I mean, it's 1,000% correct. And well said. Bob, we love you that you're calling in and you're listening to KWAM. You know, I own the radio station, so I'm especially thankful you're listening.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right, Bob. Thank you for calling in. No, it's a sad thing, right? I mean, nobody wants to send little Billy to school with his Willie, and he comes back home without it. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Dylan, I just received a text message wanting to know if I was going to have to, if they were going to give me a glass tabletop like the they do at Fox, you know, the anchor tables, you know, if I get the gig.
Yes.
And am I going to have to shave my legs? And I'm not shaving my legs.
Hopefully you won't be wearing shorts when you're doing the show.
No. So. You know, for an 8 p.m. show, I might shave my legs. I don't. Might get chilly. I don't know.
It's a late night.
You know, back at Fox, they used to have a camera. They called it they would take the leg shot as they were going to break.
Yes.
They would focus in on somebody's legs. It was Guilfoyle back in the day, Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, they actually had a camera like that.
So you think you're going to be the next victim of the leg shot?
Yeah. My ankles do look pretty good. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie.
You've been walking.
I have been doing a lot of walking.
So, there's improvement.
There you go. All right. Let's. We just grossed out most of our listening audience here. Let's go to Jamie in North Carolina, WTKF. Hi, Jamie. What's going on?
Well, hi there, Todd. Yes, I was just weighing in. I'm here in New Bern, North Carolina, weighing in on your comment earlier about the globalism in America. And I'm very familiar with that. You know, a lot of the modern globalism started with the League of Nations, which the U.S. Senate did not ratify. And then after the Second World War, then the UN pushed through. But there was an organization created both in America and England, but in America it was called the Council on Foreign Relations, and they have a publication arm named the Foreign Affairs. Anyway, Dick Cheney, a lot of Zbigniew Brzezinski, whose daughter Mika, and of course Liz Cheney's father Dick Cheney, they were all members, and Dick Cheney bragged about it. You know, speaking to the CFR, said, well, you know, a lot of my constituents in Wyoming didn't know that. I didn't bother to tell them. But anyway, there was a famous article back in the 70s where they mentioned that they wanted, one of the stated goals of the CFR was to make an end run around national sovereignty.
And that's exactly what they're doing, Jamie. I mean, it's by the playbook. And you're right. I mean, you are a well-read man. The sad thing is most Americans are not. And this is about taking away, stripping away our sovereignty. Jamie, I got to run. Thank you for calling in. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Hour 3 coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. It is Open Line Friday. And that means you can call in and talk about whatever you would like to talk about. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So some new developments are coming out of this Georgia school shooting from earlier this week, and it's pretty disturbing stuff. According to multiple reports now, the alleged shooter, Colt Gray, had been ridiculed by classmates claiming that he was gay. This is the headline from the Daily Mail. Georgia school shooter Colt Gray was bullied for being gay. Now, the family had a very troubling history. I think the mother and the father now in jail, Colin Gray, age 54, he told authorities last year in Jackson County that it was very difficult for his son to go to school and not get picked on. The father said it went from one thing to another. I was trying to get him on the golf team, and they were like, oh, look, Colt's gay. He's dating that guy. Well, that would make you gay. Just ridiculed him day after day after day. So the working theory now is that, and again, if this information is holding true, and this is according, this is coming from a transcript from the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. Colt Gray killed four people, two teachers, two students, nine other people also hurt in the attack at Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia. So if, in fact, this is all true, I mean, a couple of questions here, and I'm not excusing anything. This young man should be charged as an adult, and he should get whatever punishment. And honestly, ladies and gentlemen, and hear me out on this, this kid should either spend the rest of his life in jail or he should face the death penalty. And it is time that we get serious about penalties and consequences in this country. And the father should face whatever charges he should face. And I don't get the dad. You've got a kid. Your kid's threatening to shoot up the middle school. The FBI pays you a visit. The sheriff's department pays you a visit. Official statements. And then at Christmas, you're giving your kid a gun? What's wrong with you? But regardless, let's set that aside for a moment. Let's say you've got a kid, a 14-year-old, and your kid comes out as gay, and your kid is bullied and harassed in high school. Does the school, what obligation does the school have to make sure that your child is not beaten up or not attacked because he's gay or straight or whatever? Why aren't the school officials stepping in and doing something to stop all this bullying? But it goes beyond that. And this is where I think we're at in the country. Because when you look at all of these mass shootings, they all follow the same MO, right? You've got loners. You've got the kids are just not fitting in for whatever reason. But they never get into asking the question they've been asking recently. And it's the question is that child gay or trans? Because when you look at the recent shootings that have involved schools, there has been a student who is transgender, gay, whatever. And you wonder if all of this talk in the classroom about confusing kids regarding their pronouns, if that's actually causing some sort of a psychological break, a psychotic break in these kids. Where at the age of 3 and 4, they're telling these boys and girls, well, you know, you may not be a little boy. Oh, I know you have a wee-wee, but you may not be a little boy. Or you may not be a little girl. That's what's going on in the classroom. And I'm just wondering, and again, going back, so let's backtrack now and look at some of these other mass shootings in the schools. Were those students members of the LGBT community? No, I'm not saying that LGBT kids are just going out and shooting up people. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, are some of these kids, did they go through this radical sex indoctrination in their classrooms? And as a result of that, their minds are just turned to mush. They're so confused, so distraught that they lash out. I'm just asking if that could be a possibility here. Anyway, that's the very latest now that the father, in a transcript with authorities from last year's incident, said, hey, look, my kid's getting bullied here at school for being gay, and nobody's doing anything about it. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Susie in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN today. Hi, Susie. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Sad time in my area.
It's really a tragedy.
I live about 30 minutes from where that happened, and the first thing I want to say is that whole family needs Jesus, Todd. They just need Jesus. And we have 3 grown sons. Never at 14 would we have thought about letting them have that. They might could have had a .22 rifle or BB gun, but not that kind of rifle. And my boys were not disturbed boys. And this boy, like you just said, I agree with everything you just said 2 minutes ago, everything. But the thing starts, Todd, in the home.
Well, no doubt about that, Susie. No doubt about it. And that's, I mean, when you look at the, and go and look at the family situations of some of the previous shooters, broken homes, there's only one parent in the household, and it's the recipe for a disaster like this.
It is. And, too, I want to tell you this, that I heard that Bichotte is not going to sentence Trump till what, after the election?
Yeah, November 26th, yeah.
I have been praying every day, Todd, every day that God would change that. I won't tell you what, that person's mind and heart, that this would not happen. And God answered my prayer, Todd. I give him all the glory.
Well, Susie, what I'm glad that we have a lot of prayer warriors out there, and I'm with you. But can I tell you this, Susie? The whole thing is political. And I think that Obama and his team realized that if Trump goes to jail in September, they lose the election. So I suspect God intervening, but there was also a political angle to all of this. And ultimately, they decided to let's kick this can down the road.
Right. And two, I enjoyed Tim Burchett yesterday.
Did you really? I'm going to pass along that. You know, we've never done that before. And it's really interesting, Susie, because, you know, we were actually at an event together months ago. And he was like, man, I really want to do your talk show. And I'm like, all right. And so when you finally sit down and you have this big, beautiful, huge microphone in front of you and the light comes on that says you're on the air, it makes even the most it would make even President Trump a little nervous.
Yeah.
But he did a great job.
I tried to call him, but I never could get through. I wanted to tell him what a good job he's doing, and I appreciate his work, and I love his accent.
Well, dadgummit, Susie, I'll pass that along. He does have a good accent. He does.
Y'all got a good one in Tennessee and him.
We do. All right, Susie, God bless you, and thank you for calling in. Let's go to Luke in North Carolina. And Luke, I understand you have an interesting observation about this shooting.
Yeah, I do. I just feel like there's been a lot of mass shootings lately, and it seems to always fall. You know, it's always the AR-15, which, I mean, I don't think that 14-year-old, you know, in that situation should have had an AR-15 possibly. But, you know, it's always right here 60 days before an election. Just here's a mass shooting where people that are maybe on the middle of the fence, they're like, okay, maybe I should vote for Kamala Harris because she wants to ban guns and she wants to do all this, and people don't understand what they're really voting for, you know, if they vote for that. But it's a sad situation, and I hate it happening, of course, and, you know, the people that were killed and injured, you know, rest in peace and may God be with their family. But it's just, it just really upsets me with this stuff seems to happen in such a timely manner.
It is an interesting coincidence, and maybe that's just it. It's just a weird coincidence that something like this happened. Again, this kid had been on the radar of the FBI. But, I mean, I know that people are pouncing on the FBI here, but their fiduciary responsibility ended once they made the initial investigation and turned it over to the local law enforcement. I mean, you know, they can't be guarding every 13-year-old who writes something stupid on, you know, on social media or on Discord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I feel like, I mean, you know, the answer is always for them, let's just take everybody's gun rights, you know. But, you know, you want to arm, like, put some more armed security at the schools, you know, and there's all these teachers, you know, there's a lot of bad teachers today, but there's still good, a lot of good teachers out there. My wife is a school teacher, and, you know, I just hate that this stuff happened, you know, the way it's happening.
Luke, I want to say this about those school teachers at Appalachie High School. It sounds like that school was blessed with a lot of great teachers, and the stories of heroism coming out, the teachers who use their bodies to keep the doors barricaded, that literally put themselves between the shooter and the students, that tells me that community is blessed with some teachers who truly care about their kids.
Yes, sir. I agree.
All right.
And they're trained to do that. So that's what my wife says. They're trained to do that.
Yes. They were trained very well, and they did what they were supposed to do. And again, you can have that debate about whether or not teachers should be armed. But, you know, again, if you're a teacher, you know, I can't even imagine being a teacher and one of your students pulls out a weapon. Would you have the wherewithal to take yours out and take down that 13 or 14-year-old? I mean, I can't even imagine being in that kind of a situation, but Luke, God bless you, and God bless your wife, one of the good teachers out there. I want to play some audio here. This is from a 14-year-old student. Now, the teacher involved in this was actually related to a Fox or a Newsmax correspondent, and we had her on the national show yesterday on Newsmax. And her brother-in-law is the teacher in this classroom. This is a little 14-year-old young boy talking about what happened in that classroom. Cut number 8.
I got up. I started running. He started shooting like 10 times. He shot at least 10 times. And then I ran to the back of the classroom. I dived behind the desk, and my teacher had got in front of me like he was guarding. But like the gunshots were so close to me, like my ears started ringing real bad. Like the whole classroom was smoking, like, and everything. And then when he finally got out of the classroom, my teacher started barricading the door with desks and bookshelves and all that. And then I had saw one of my classmates on the ground bleeding so bad. And then when I had moved myself to the other side of the room because the bookshelf I was hiding behind, it was right in front of the door. So I had moved to the other side, to like this side with my friend. And I was checking on my other friend because he got grazed in his leg. And then there was a white girl that was in front of me. She got shot in her leg and stuff. And then my other friend got shot in her stomach. And it was just so sad, stuff like that.
You okay?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a lot to process.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're so young. You're how old?
14.
That's so much to have to process in class where you're supposed to feel safe.
Yeah.
How are you doing now? I mean, what's going through your mind?
Well, it just keep replaying back in my head. I just thank God that I wasn't the one that got hit, you know, like in the midst of all of it happening. I was just thanking God because, you know, he had his hands around me.
He had his hands around me. 14-year-old young man. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines. Angela, North Carolina, WSIC. Now, Angela, I understand you are a teacher. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
All right. What's on your mind, Angela?
Okay, well, you know, talking about the school shootings and all this crazy stuff happening at schools, you know, of course, I'm very, very sorry of what has happened. I don't think teachers should be armed. I'm against that. But I'm all for more security in schools, armed security in schools. We are very vulnerable. We take care of children. That should be like one, you know, number one priority for everybody. And so that's what I think. We already have so much in our plate. We should be, you know, just be there to take care of our children and teach them the right things, of course. And that's it. But something's got to be done in terms of more security in schools.
So what would you suggest? For example, the school that you're at, what sort of security do you guys have at your school?
Yes. So, for example, at the school that I teach, we have one officer in campus the whole time. Like, he's 24/7 there, even in summertime. And that's how it should be, you know, in most of schools or all of the schools. Either, you know, an officer or private security, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what sort of security situation they had there at the high school in Georgia. I do know the school resource officer confronted and engaged with the shooter. So we'll keep folks updated on that when we can find out more information. But Angela, I agree with you. Again, if you're going to have a school like that, you do need to make sure that the facility is heavily guarded. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Chris in North Carolina, WHKP, our great affiliate there. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind?
Well, hello, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Glad to do it. All right. Yeah, let's get right to it.
Okay. I'm not a teacher, and I don't even have any kids in school. But this is my idea. I don't agree with Kamala to defund the police, and I don't agree that the schools don't need the resource officers. I think they are needed. My thoughts are to have every door in the school locked except one, and the resource officer is behind that one, and there has to be a metal detector there. If I go to the courthouse, I have to put my car keys and the nickels, quarters, and dimes in the tub, and then when I go through the detector, they still scan me. So if there's a metal detector there and anybody's got a gun, they're going to know. I don't know. I might be, you know, crazy or all wet, but I think that would help. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if they don't already have those, I would like to think they have those kinds of things already, you know, that students have to walk through some sort of a metal detector. Again, you know, the situation is this. The culture sucks right now, Chris. All the movies, all the video games, all the music, it's violence, 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 violence. It's all just being sucked into the minds of the kids. And I know there are a lot of people out there saying it's not the video games. And I've had emails from people, Todd, I get home from work and I shoot and kill thousands of people, you know, on my video screen every night. And I don't go out and shoot people. All right, that's great. But other kids are, and other people are. So if we're not going to deal with the culture, then we have to turn our public schools into armed encampments. And I would say that's one way to do it. Chris, that music means I've got to scoot out of here. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Everybody, happy to have you with us today on the Todd Stearns radio program. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch the Todd Stearns Show. We'll also be broadcasting President Trump's rally speech live tonight. Well, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Cheryl Chumley joins us, the online opinion editor for the Washington Times. Also has a great podcast, Bold and Blunt, and has a brand new faith-based novel out called Chloe. Book one of Chloe's People, a novel. Cheryl, good to have you with us. Congratulations on the new book.
Todd, thank you so much for having me. And you know what? Thank you so much for endorsing this book. It's great of you.
Well,
thank you.
I was happy. This is the first novel I've ever been asked to endorse, so I feel very literary.
It's wonderful to have your name attached to this. Really do appreciate it.
Well, I'm honored, and thank you for asking and for inviting me to do it. I'm curious, was this a hard thing to switch from writing nonfiction to fiction?
That's a really good question, because on one hand, yes, very difficult. It was like a 20-year process, right? But on the other hand, no, because when I was younger, when I was little, it was actually fiction that I used to do all the time, and journalism and nonfiction were the deviations. But as I got accustomed to writing journalism and nonfiction, it was a little bit of a challenge to get back into fiction, because you constantly second guess your voice, right, when you're not used to writing a certain way. But now that I'm back in it, this is really where I want to lead.
Well, let's talk about the book, and it follows the story of a little girl raised in a dysfunctional home. So take it from there.
Right. So it's about a little girl named Chloe raised in a dysfunctional home, like so many people are. And it was her journey in life in darkness until God, in a very mysterious manner, reached out to her and helped bring her into the light. So the reason I wrote this book is because I think the church fails to reach out to those in America or around the world who are really living in sin, in darkness. And the reason the church fails is because many in the church have been raised from a young age in the church with God, with the Bible. And so they have a difficult time understanding how those who are seemingly willfully living in sin with addictions and so forth, homeless, prostitutes, whatever, on the street, they have a hard time understanding how those people got like that. So this book hopefully opens the eyes of believers so they can do a better job of reaching those right now who are lost.
See, I think this is so terrific. And going back to the biblical days when Jesus was holding these large gatherings and he would tell parables. These were stories that he was telling to convey, you know, deeper spiritual truths, you know, connecting to the audience of fishermen or whoever was there. And I kind of see your book as doing something very similar in that vein.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. And, you know, you in your own faith, because I know that you have a deep faith as well, you must see in your own church and in your own faith journey how many Christians are very, they have a heart for the lost. But if you're raised in the church and you're raised a certain way, to see things a certain way, it's very difficult to understand. Why is that person doing that to him or herself? Why is that person taking drugs? Why is that person an alcoholic? Why is that person, you know, a sex addict or something like that? Well, if you haven't walked in that path, it's very difficult to understand. And I think a lot of Christians have a heart to help those who are lost, but they don't know how to effectively communicate with those who are really deeply lost.
1,000%. And I will tell you, I can point directly to the moment, you know, for me, when I survived open heart surgery. This was back in 2004. I came out of that with a new perspective on life and observations, and not that I was living a very legalistic life, but I found myself being more compassionate to people's circumstances, if that makes any sense. And I don't know why I went through that process, but it makes me understand a lot more and to be more sympathetic, I suppose. You know, when, you know, meeting people that are going through difficulties in their lives.
Well, that's just a perfect example of how God takes something bad and turns it to good, right? Because if he made you more compassionate from that terrible ordeal that you had to go through, in the end, that's a great thing. And it goes along with my very deep belief in the principle of there but for the grace of God go I, right? If we in the Christian community look at these, you know, people who are stretched out asleep in the street, and we think, we deeply think and believe that that could be me, except for God's grace, right? That changes your whole outlook. That changes your whole way of thinking. And it does what you yourself just said, you experienced. It makes you more compassionate. And with that compassion comes the oftentimes urge to act on it. And that's where the Holy Spirit can actually move people.
I just love this, Cheryl. And again, the name of the book, folks, Chloe, Book One of Chloe's People. And I want you to get a copy of this. And Cheryl, I'm curious, you know, sometimes novels are a little bit different than nonfiction. So who is this book for? Is it for ladies? Is it for guys? Or is it for everybody?
Yeah, that was one of the, you yourself know when you write a book, right? Like your publisher and the marketing department want to know, where do we put this on the bookshelves? Who is it for? Who's the audience? And sometimes it's tough because you want to say, well, everybody. But really, I think who this book most is aimed at is those in the church, those in the Christian community who have belief but want to do more. And I also aim it at those who do not believe in God. Like I was an atheist myself for many years, who want to understand how God actually works in people's lives, not necessarily Christians' lives, but in sinners' lives to bring them into the light.
Folks, I want to read this from the Amazon description. It's a question all sinners must wrestle with, and in the end, the only real answer is this: God does indeed work in mysterious ways. So I want you to look. You're gonna love this book. It is a great read, and from my understanding here, just on the title, I'm expecting there will be more books in this genre. Is that right?
It's a 5-part series. The end of Chloe actually teases the next one in the series, which I'm just wrapping now. It's called Hector.
Ooh. Excellent. All right. Well, Cheryl, congratulations. And you've got some great endorsements here. Governor Mike Huckabee, Cal Thomas, Sam Sorbo, and the most important, Todd Starnes.
So Thank you, Todd.
But I'm excited for you, folks. Let's go and put this book on a bestseller list. Cheryl Chumley, an incredible work of fiction, Chloe, Book One of Chloe's People. All right, Cheryl, thanks for coming on. Happy Labor Day weekend.
Thank you, Todd. God bless.
All right, God bless you. What a great lady. We have known each other for years, and this is how it just kind of works in the journalism business. We have known each other for years. We actually got to sit down across from each other for the very first time earlier this year when we were at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And she is simply just an incredible human being. And we had so much fun talking, and she has an amazing life story, and she is just an incredible journalist over at the Washington Times. And you got to get her podcast, too. It's called Bold and Blunt. All right. By the way, speaking of bold and blunt, we're going to have to go boldly and bluntly to break. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're always honored to have our friends from The Wellness Company joining us. TWC.health/Starnes is the website. TWC.health/Starnes. Joining us, Dr. James Thorpe, who is the Chief of Maternal and Prenatal Health for The Wellness Company. Dr. Thorpe, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Todd.
So, end of summer here, coming up, Labor Day weekend, kids back in school. What do moms and dads need to be aware of to keep their kids healthy?
Well, I think the most important information here is to not be susceptible to the massive fear propaganda that is coming from your government.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, it seems like they are actually trying their very best to drum up some sort of a new pandemic. We've heard about the rising COVID numbers. People are starting to mask up again, the whole social distancing. Does any of this make any sense to you?
No. I think that it's very bothersome. I think that it's a method of control. You know, the Mpox is really, we've been out ahead of this for 6 months at the Wellness Company, and we've really deflated their balloon. I mean, this doesn't represent a threat to humanity. It's nothing more than fear pornography, because that's what controls the masses. As we head into this Labor Day, the kids are back in school, and we're in a very dangerous time in history. This is almost like a repeat of 2020, except on steroids, deja vu all over again.
It's really true. I mean, you've got the CDC now recommending a new round of COVID vaccines. What do you recommend people do there, Dr. Thorpe? Should they get the vaccines? Are they going to be effective?
Absolutely should not get the vaccine. And Todd, the American people know better. You know, 99% of the American people know that the government is lying. In the first quarter of 2024, this year, the uptake of this dangerous vaccine was only 1% of the American people, and that's down from 4% last year. So the Americans know that the government has some alternative motives and have some very sinister motives in pushing this fraudulent vaccine.
So, and yes, and a lot of it has to be directed at this presidential election. How likely is it that we are going to see a real COVID surge this fall? And what can people do to get prepared for that?
Well, I think the most important is to, number one, be prepared. Don't be scared. Do stockpile potentially life-saving prescription medications and potentially life-saving nutraceuticals over the counter. Stockpile them, because the earlier that you treat any disease, the better the outcome. And that's been a golden rule of medicine for millennia.
It's a fair point. And again, I'm all about being prepared, which is what I love about you guys. And I've got the wellness emergency kits. I've got one in my car when I travel. I always have those things with me. You never know when you might need them. And I've needed them a time or two. But the thing for me is I'm not relying on anybody else, Dr. Thorpe, which is why I love these emergency medical kits you guys have.
They're so important. The emergency medical kit combined with a contagion kit gives you a cadre of a complement of potentially life-saving prescription medications that can treat potentially a myriad of diseases, including certain bioweapons such as anthrax. We can also treat H5N1, this potential avian flu, with a couple of the medications in the contagion kit.
And finally, you know, Dr. Thorpe, we see this new CDC report saying that virtually no one has the antibodies for the current strain of the bird flu. So are you surprised by that? And where, how does that play out?
Well, listen, that's a bunch of nonsense. First of all, presence of antibody is a completely false surrogate. That's just basically a tool used by the pharmaceutical industry. It doesn't define immunity or non-immunity. It never has, and it really won't. And I don't have time to go into the background of that.
All right. Well, Dr. Thorpe, we certainly appreciate the time you've given us. And just a reminder, folks, if you purchase an emergency medical kit, whatever you purchase, you're going to save nearly $30 at checkout with my code STERNS. Go to twc.health/STERNS. That's twc.health/STERNS. And you're going to save $30 by using my code STERNS. Some incredible products. And some of the best medical people that I know are a part of the wellness company. Dr. Thorpe, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and hope you and your family have a happy Labor Day.
You as well, and to your audience. God bless you.
All right. Good man right there. Good man. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926, Carlotta in Rhode Island. Hi, Carlotta. What's going on?
Hi, I just was thinking about the first time I ever called you.
Wow.
And I don't think you remember, but I was teaching at Polytechnic, and you were living in the building with Whole Foods.
That's true.
You had not been on Fox for a while, and I went on my way home, I stopped to buy something, and I saw you in the soup aisle. And then after you bought this station, I called you and said, I saw you, and I said, were you buying cream of celery soup? And you had such a violent reaction. You said, no way would I ever buy cream of celery soup. Do you have any vague recollection of that?
Carlotta, I remember this like it happened yesterday. I'm having PTSD in the soup aisle.
Exactly. And now when I think of it, it's funny. But the other thing I wanted to say is the other way to keep your children safe because of the guest you had on is I don't know how you're going to stop gangs of Venezuelans from stopping the school buses. We have to give some thought to that.
Yeah, we do, Carlotta. But going back to your celery story, I'll never forget this. Dylan, this was as the pandemic was beginning to rage. And I went to, yes. we had a supermarket in the building. The only thing left in the soup aisle was the cream of celery soup. And I thought, how bad does it have to be? You're willing to starve, but nobody's buying right. The celery soup.
But actually, it's quite good because you can use it as a base. It's so bland. How bad does it have to be? Let's put it this way. It is so bland, you can use it as a base for almost anything.
Wow. All right. Well, Carlotta, I remember that. Wow. We've been on air friends for a long time now.
Exactly.
All right.
I just wanted to remind you of that.
I'm so glad you did, Carlotta. All right. Real quick, we've got Bob, WTJS in Jackson. All right, Bob, you've got about 20 seconds. Go.
All right. I'll get to it. But before I forget, a few weeks ago, you had a black preacher on that went through the gamut of what represents the Democrat Party. I'd recommend playing that every day. Anyway, the gun rights thing, I heard a rep say a while back, they said, how are they going to confiscate all the guns? They don't have the manpower. And he said, what was it, 65,000 IRS agents?
5 seconds. That's it, the IRS agents. They're coming after us with... I'm telling you, a lot of these government agencies have their own private armies, Bob. Bob, give me a call back next week because it's a great point you're bringing up. Folks, I got to scoot out of here. It's been a lot of fun. Don't forget, subscribe to the newsletter. Get out there, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.